One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Welcome to Cosmopolitan's All The Way With. I'm Pacey Gilmore.
And I'm Laura Capon. And this week we're joined by James, who's going to talk about his experience having a micropenis.
And in the meantime, Elsie, we're going to talk about what's to come for the next 4 weeks at least.
Lockdown 2.0. How are you feeling, PG?
She's back and she's... What was I going to say? Ignore that.
She's back and she's badder than ever.
Never, that's what I was going to say. It's like the sequel. I feel really blue about it, actually. What about you?
I did feel really blue, but I'm feeling a bit better this week. On the weekend and on Monday, I felt really, like, weirdly teary.
Yeah.
But today I'm feeling a bit better. And I actually messaged some of my friends because I thought it'd be nice how if we could talk about some of the ways that we're going to like beat the lockdown loneliness that I'm
really
sure
nice.
We're all experiencing. So I think I'm going to cheer you up with some of the things my friends are doing.
Okay.
So my friend Rose, who I feel like is a lockdown pro, her favourite thing to do is to watch a film at the same time as her friend or your partner or whoever. So she says you pick a time and that also means you don't like carry on working like, no, it's this time. And you literally press play at the same time and then you just like chat about the film. Obviously, if it's like a film you really want to watch, you don't, it's not. But you know, like if you're just watching something stupid.
Yeah. And what are you messaging or are you on FaceTime or?
Messaging or FaceTime would be too long. They just like will WhatsApp.
Cute.
My other friend is doing a bike ride because you're allowed to meet one person outside for who's not in your household, right? So she's doing a bike ride with her friend, which is quite nice.
I'm doing that with my friend Marie on Saturday as well.
See? So I think there are like things that we can do. I've also been having daily, in the first lockdown I did this, I did a daily phone call with my friend and I'm going to carry that on like every day. And we said we couldn't like break the chain. And I think that's a good way to check in on people that you're maybe a bit worried about as well.
Mm-hmm. So what, you take it in turns to call each other? You don't speak to the same person every day?
So yeah, we take it in turns.
Oh, that's
and
good. Then,
and
yeah,
it's not like...
I'd say I'd run out of things to say.
Yeah, and it's only like some nights, honestly, it would be like 10 minutes, but it's just...
Oh, okay.
It more just becomes that thing of like, you don't want to be the one that breaks it.
Yeah, that's nice. I like that.
But I'm trying to be basically a bit more positive. And I'm also trying to think of all the things that I said I'd do in the first lockdown and never did. So you're going to laugh.
Oh, but God.
I really want to follow along to a Bob Ross painting. Don't ask me why. So I've literally ordered a canvas. I've ordered my oil paints. I've ordered a palette knife because, you know, he uses like a knife quite a lot for the trees. And I'm buzzing about it. I didn't order an easel because it just felt like I was spending a lot of money.
You can upgrade to the easel if you turn out to be a natural.
Exactly. Couldn't believe how expensive painting supplies were though.
Oh really?
But like I'm genuinely like I'm just waiting for that delivery to come.
Oh, that's such a nice thing to do.
So is that really kind of
You're really going for it. You're leaning into lockdown and I think that's probably the best way to deal with it.
I feel like because we know it's hopefully just the month this time. And yeah, I'm just trying to see it as like doing all those things I didn't do. And even if I don't do those things, I don't know, just pretending to be Bob Ross for the day, you know?
Are you going to wear a curly wig?
Oh, I should have ordered one as well.
Yeah, you really should.
And get a pet squirrel from the garden.
sounds dangerous. So I live with three other people. So unfortunately, I don't have the option to be lonely. In fact, it's the opposite. it's too much.
Classy.
We've decided our challenge as a house for the next 4 weeks is we're all going to learn how to do the splits.
Oh, I've seen quite a few people doing that. Like basically doing, you can do splits training, right?
Or you do it like incrementally.
Oh, I can feel the groin pain.
I can't wait. And so by hopefully 2021, when we can go back to having parties, that's going to be my party trick.
Oh my God. How far can you split now?
Currently can't touch my toes, Laura. So,
you can just do a wide stance.
Yeah, a lunge.
See, I just feel like, when else would you learn the splits, you know?
Exactly. I'm a busy woman. I haven't got time to split.
Do you have to, like, lube your thighs up?
I hope
I guess they're not slipping against one another. I mean, mine would be slipping against one another.
Yeah, mine would be too, right at the top.
Just make you stretch out. I'm doing it now. I'm sitting on the floor. I'm doing, you know, like a teddy bear sit.
Yeah.
It's probably too much, isn't it? Probably we should just stop this intro now.
Should we meet James?
Yeah, let's meet James. Today we're joined by James, not his real name, and we have disguised his voice, who has, in his own words, a very small penis. He says this makes him feel sexually worthless, as does seeing body-shaming comments relating to penis size online and in pop culture every day. Welcome, James.
Thank you. Nice to be on.
It's nice
thank
to have
you. Thank
you
so much for coming.
And I feel like this is it's a very sensitive topic, so thank you for kind of coming on and sharing your experience.
Thank you for inviting me on.
Oh. How old were you when you realised your penis was smaller than average?
I would say I must have been at least 14, because it was kind of during like PE lessons at school. Obviously, you'd see the other boys kind of getting bigger, and it became sort of quite obvious to me that I was a lot smaller than, well, it seemed like all of them. I don't know if it was all of them, but it seemed like it at the time. And so I was so embarrassed about it, to the point that when we'd come back in from PE outside, obviously the expectation was you'd then shower with all the other boys.
Yeah.
I just remember I did that once or twice, and eventually I decided to just pretend that I'd had a shower after the PE lesson. I honestly didn't know how I got away with it. Nobody ever picked up on it. But I'd you know, get me PE kit off, get back, change into my normal clothes, make a, you know, point of getting my towel out of my bag. But how I never got picked up for not getting in a shower, I honestly don't know.
That PE changing room thing, though, like, I have hideous memories of changing rooms in PE. I do think, like, that age as well, you're so vulnerable. And I feel like teachers, I don't know, I hope it's different now, but I feel like they were so insensitive to it as well.
I think so.
Yeah, I remember, like, in the girl, I mean, I don't, obviously it's different, but I know in the girls one, like, some of the girls would go in the toilets, and the PE teacher would be like, get out of the toilets, girls. And you just think, you know, like, everyone is obviously feeling, like, we're all going through puberty, goddammit.
I mean, like you said, it might be different now, but I don't know how it ever kind of became a thing. Like, how did teachers not know, or parents kind of not realise that this might be uncomfortable for some people?
Yeah.
It can be quite, like, scarring and traumatising for people, can't it? Had you decided, like, oh, I don't want to shower in front of the other boys because I feel uncomfortable, or was it that people made comments or anything, or was it just kind of in your head?
It was mainly in my head at that time, because although there was a lot of penis jokes around at that time, I wasn't particularly what I would say kind of like sexually aware. I wasn't like thinking about women or girls in that way until I was about 16, actually, which might be a little bit unusual, but it was more at that point for me. My insecurity was purely just a physical thing, that they were all bigger than me, and they always kind of used to make penis sized jokes, but I didn't attach that to sex at that point. I was just, okay, I'm going to get humiliated if they see this kind of thing. And also, I had a second issue, because I'm quite a skinny person as well. I do remember when another couple of boys see me naked, and they did, I can't remember exactly what they said, but they did mock my chest, because I've got what's called asymmetrical skeleton. It's not as bad as it sounds. It just means that because I haven't worked out or built myself up, it means I've got a bone that slightly protrudes in my chest. because I'm skinny, I think maybe like guys have kind of got, or a lot of guys, I don't want to sort of class everybody the same, but a lot of guys have kind of got the opposite problem to women. Women often want to lose weight. Men, when you're a teenager or in your 20s, often kind of want to put it on and build themselves up. And I didn't go through the process of building myself up because it just wasn't something I wanted to do. But at the same time, it made me feel insecure, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, I think
I don't know if that makes sense at all.
Yeah, and understanding that men have body confidence issues just as much as women do. And it's just not spoken about as kind of widely. So to kind of, sorry to be so blunt, James, but how big is your penis?
It's just under 4 inches. It does sort of vary for some reason, but it's between, you know, the most I've measured it at is 4 inches, but I have measured it at 3 inches before, but I don't know if that's because I made a mistake.
And so I'm guessing that's when it's erect?
That's erect, yeah. When it's flaccid, God, it must be less than an inch.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah. And I guess, have you looked into, like, what's the UK average? And
yeah, I've looked into it, probably way more than I should have done. And the UK average, as it happens, is slap bang in the middle of what the world average is, according to studies.
Who knew?
Which is, and the averages do vary, actually quite a lot between nations for whatever reason. But the UK average, the last time I checked, was 5.2 inches.
And is that erect as well?
That's erect, yeah. I don't know what the flaccid average is, but the erect average is 5.2 inches, which is around about the world average.
I'm laughing, James, because you said you've looked into it a lot. You definitely have, haven't you? Giving off like all the worlds, all the counties.
I love that. You hear in like mainstream media, I'm thinking maybe the tabloids, the term micro penis a lot. Is that a term that you, like, what do you think about that term? Do you think, like, do you have to take any issue with it? Or
I do, but I don't actually, my size isn't, from a clinical perspective, isn't classed as a micro penis. But on behalf of guys that do have a micro penis, I have an issue with it because I don't think it adds anything. It's not kind of helpful to put that label on those guys that do have. I think a micro penis is 2.5 inches or less, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
I don't know why it adds to kind of when people refer to them as having a micro penis, because I can imagine because small is considered bad, micro, it's considered even worse.
Yeah, it's like a qualifier that you don't need. It's like almost implying that it doesn't count as a penis because you're adding the term micro. Yeah, I see.
Yeah, it's kind of like putting them in a. I'm already considered in a, you know, bad inverted commas bracket. They're like considered even worse.
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
Yeah, it's just and kind of unnecessary label.
Yeah.
So I know, James, you said you were about 16 when you kind of started to think in like a sexual way, I guess.
Yeah.
What was your first sexual experience like?
My first sexual experience was actually in my early 20s, and it was with a university girl who I'd met online, and we kind of struck up a bit, you know, a few conversations. And
flirting.
Yeah. And
flanter, I believe the kids are calling it. They're not, are they?
And it was horrendous. The reason being, because I was obviously completely inexperienced, and I will say that my sexual experience is extremely limited anyway, but like now it's limited, but now I have knowledge that I didn't have then, which might have helped me. But just to kind of describe what happened, I remember getting undressed. I remember she obviously looked down, and she kind of giggled, put her hand to her mouth, and said, "Okay," like as if she's kind of, you know, what do I do with this kind of thing? And I don't want to criticise her because, you know, I guess it was obviously a difficult situation for her as well. She was actually very experienced sexually, whereas that was my first, you know, experience.
Mm.
But it was pretty obvious that she didn't expect it, and she didn't know kind of how to deal with it. When it came down to the business of me trying to penetrate, I remember her saying, you know, constantly, "Is it in yet?" Which, you know, when I kept hearing that, I just wanted the ground to, like, open up and swallow me, if you see what I mean.
Oh, no, I bet. Like, sex with a new person for the first time is so awkward anyway, and to have that on top of it is, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I totally understand, James, because you're so vulnerable in that moment. And also it's obviously something you were insecure about anyway, and that's kind of reaffirming your biggest fear.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like, oh, it's come true. And I did actually try to give her oral, but she didn't get anything from that, whether it's because my technique was bad or whether it's just not her thing, I don't know, but she didn't get anything from that. And
it's your first time, though. Yeah. I'm still bad at oral.
Same.
And it's the main thing I have to do.
And I felt kind of so bad for her that I did something else that I now regret because it makes me feel ridiculous. But because I felt kind of so bad that she didn't get anything out of the experience, I remember a few days later I went to a shop and bought a box of chocolate after eights. And I walked a couple of miles to her flat to give them to her as a way to say, well, as both as an apology, but also just to thank her for being intimate. But looking back on it now, it just makes me feel ridiculous because how would that make up for it? You know?
Oh, James.
No. I was like, well, to us, I guess Laura's going to say the same. Like, you shouldn't need to apologise. Yeah. I don't know. Is that what you were thinking, Laura?
Yeah, the fact, just what a lovely person you are.
Oh, thank you.
I'm just sad that you even feel that that's embarrassing.
Yeah, it's just that awkward, you know.
Yeah. Had you told her beforehand? Had you said, look, I have a small penis? Or was it something that you decided you didn't want to say?
The amazing thing is, and this is going to sound incredible in retrospect, given now what I see, hear, and experience every day on social media and people working in TV and films, they see like the way people talk about small penises every day. But then, the only insecurity I had about having a small penis was not wanting other men to see it, because I'd only heard boys making jokes about it at school. And it sounds incredible now, but at that point, I wasn't aware, or I don't remember being aware, that it would be an issue for women. And now I see it as being a bigger issue for women. I don't know how I missed it until that point.
I guess it just changed because you hadn't been around women in that sense.
Yeah, probably, yeah. Yeah, maybe that's what it was.
Yeah, and I guess in some ways that reaction is almost more cruel in that situation.
Yeah, it was just...
So did this kind of stop you enjoying sex? Was it like, I know you said you haven't had many sexual experiences. Is that one of the reasons that it's just not enjoyable for you?
There's two or three reasons, but that is one of the reasons why I just don't even attempt to get into sexual relationships with people now. So I know everybody like faces rejections or cruel comments about different, you know, a whole host of different things, but knowing myself the way that I do, I just know that it would probably make my mental health plummet if I experienced something else like that. But I'm not saying that it's right that I'm not saying that, you know, other guys should follow my lead and not open themselves up in that way. But I just don't know how I would deal with that.
So do you kind of just, you don't do dating or anything as a way of like protecting yourself from that rejection?
I just completely avoid it now.
Have you had any good sexual experiences, James?
Not involving penetration. I've had one or two because I did experiment. We visited a dominatrix a couple of times.
Cool. We love that
was quite cool. And I enjoyed that. But I guess it doesn't really replace kind of having a sexual relationship, or at least not for me anyway. But I did enjoy it, though. Yeah, I did enjoy it.
So would you be, like, if it wasn't for the fear of rejection or for safeguarding your mental health, would you want to have, like, an intimate relationship with someone?
I think so, yeah. I think so, because I am a very...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Instinctively, I'm a very, what I would say, a very sexual being, is, and I'm not going to lie, it's something I think about every day. Not constantly, but like, you know, most people, I get attracted to people, but I just never act on it. I just think too far ahead, I think. But I am quite a sexual being.
I think we can all relate to that as well.
Yeah. It's like catastrophizing, isn't it? You're like, oh, yeah. If we get on, then we're going to have sex, then that might happen.
This is avoidant behavior. Are there any positives you would say about having a micro penis? Like you were saying, learning other techniques, because I guess it's always just seen as negative, but what's the flip side to that?
Yeah, it is always seen as negative. The unfortunate thing is that no matter how much research they do into it, you don't really find much positive talk about small penises. But one thing I have seen a few women say online is that, I don't know if this is a positive thing or not, actually, but they often say they don't want a big penis because a big penis can hurt them. It can hit the back of the cervix, I think. So they'd prefer a penis that's not big, but it doesn't necessarily mean they want a small, actually.
Also, I guess there's other things, though, apart from actual sex, because I don't want to go back to your after eights, because I know you're embarrassed by it. But I think in some ways, has it made you a kind of more kind of thoughtful person? Do you know what I mean? It makes you kind of be more empathetic.
Yeah, absolutely. And the funny thing is that even though I've got, you know, very little sexual experience, I've read a lot about different techniques, and I know what I would do now if I was in that situation, because I'd be perfectly happy, you know, to do oral or to do whatever any sexual partner would want to satisfy them. And I'm also kind of aware that I think it's somewhere between, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's somewhere between 70 to 80% of women don't orgasm from penetrative sex anyway. Isn't that right?
Exactly, yeah. Spot on. Oh,
we talk about it all the time.
We do. So why all this emphasis on having a big penis when,
yeah, that's one
no
thing
offense,
that
you don't really need them?
It really confuses me. So I've kind of researched oral sex and also, you know, using your tongue and your fingers and I hear about new kind of techniques all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I would probably feel better prepared now, but the other part of me just doesn't want to put myself in that situation.
Yeah.
But I will say, you know, any guys out there that are willing to put themselves in that situation, if you do care about the person that you're with, you know, if you care about the woman or whoever that you're with, I think you should be, you know, willing to do whatever you need to do to help that person orgasm, if you're in a relationship with them, I mean.
Do you know what I find interesting is because, like, to generalise, which we know it's not all men, but most men historically have not really cared about the other person's pleasure. It's been quite about their own. You haven't really told us, like, how you feel about you not getting your sexual pleasure. It's kind of been about how, you know, you've felt bad for the woman because she didn't enjoy it. But, like, what about you and your pleasure?
Yeah, I guess I haven't actually... think about that too much,
because you deserve it too.
I don't know if it's because I don't put myself in that position that maybe it hasn't become like a consideration, but perhaps if I was putting myself in that position then maybe I would consider myself as well, I suppose. But I just always try to have empathy, you know, and like even just in sexual situations, but in any situation, if somebody kind of, even when somebody wrongs me in some way, I always instinctively kind of think, oh, you know, is there a reason for it? Or if you get like bad service in a shop, I think, oh, you know, maybe they're having a bad day or whatever. But, you know, when it comes to sex, I've read about, you know, a lot of guys not really caring about what the woman gets out of it.
Yeah.
And I really don't understand why they wouldn't care. It just, I suppose the way I view sex is that it's not just a physical thing. There's often an emotional connection, I guess. I don't know how you can have an emotional connection if you don't care about whether the other person's enjoying it or not.
Well, I mean, when you put it like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So have you ever had a long-term relationship, James?
No, I haven't. I just always sort of worried about disappointing the other person, really.
Hopefully by the end of this, you're going to have a new lease of life.
What do you think? We're not... Okay.
I know, I'm making out.
We're not qualified.
I never said we were.
Okay.
But sometimes it's just not... Because do you have anyone that you can talk to about this? Like, do you have any friends that you've ever been able to discuss this with?
I'd never be able to discuss it with another man. If I was going to discuss it with anybody, it would have to be a woman, just because I'd think, I don't know if it's embarrassment or whether another man would have the same empathy that a woman would. I don't know. I never had anybody that I could talk to about it, but recently, because I've contacted a lot of kind of sex educators, particularly like that work in the media, because I noticed that a lot of kind of clinical sexologists and sex therapists actually body shame small penises on their social media. There is one lady in particular, I don't want to name her, but she's been really very empathetic and kind and helpful.
Oh, that's good.
That is a positive, because she recognises that there's a problem, and she's really... just been, I don't know, just kind of like helpful on a emotional level, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Not that I like to burden her too much, but we've just like exchanged, you know, a few emails here and there, and it's been nice because I have seen a lot of sex educators, like sex therapists, that body shame small penises on their social media. So it's been nice to kind of make a connection with somebody that doesn't do that, but who does know what they're talking about.
Could you talk a little bit about that? Because I think it's really interesting what we've spoken about before, about like how sex positivity is all very much like size doesn't matter. Why are we kind of body shaming anybody? And then in the same breath, people make kind of throwaway, what they think are throwaway comments about penis size, things like small dick energy, you'll see people say on Twitter all the time. And maybe they don't realise they're like also body shaming when they do that. So what kinds of things do you see online that affect you?
I see all sorts. At the lesser end of it is the jokes. So there's people making a joke about small penises and they maybe don't mean to offend. But on the more hurtful, I mean, the jokes can be hurtful, but on the more hurtful end of it is when you see people, especially people that are kind of branding themselves as sex positive or body positive, and they will say often quite savage things. There's a high profile, I won't give names, but there's a high profile sexologist in America who's also a TED speaker. And she's not only a sexologist, she's actually a sex therapist as well, so she's done both jobs. She said things on her social media like, I don't date men with small hands, small brains, or small penises. And I take that as not even a joke. I don't even know why she would say that. It can be even worse. It's things like that. You kind of think, okay, you're entitled to your opinion, and obviously everybody I respect that, there is a hugely common preference to not like small penises, but I don't know why people feel the need to verbalise it, like what that adds to anything. And with regards to the kind of body positivity movements, it is a massive blind spot because they'll speak out against all different kinds of body shaming, but they'll often use small penises in the act of speaking out against body shaming as though they don't recognise that that's body shaming.
It's like penis is a fair game.
Yeah, somehow.
Yeah. I mean, I know you can't compare, but if that sexologist had written something about, I don't date women with small boobs, everyone would be like, what the fuck?
So
that's so judgmental. I know it's not the same. Like, there's a lot of gender politics around it, but...
Yeah.
Because
I was you know, working on an article about it at one point, and I'd done so much research that I managed to find 20 high-profile sex educators working in the media that have body-shamed small penises on their social media. And it's actually more, in my estimation, I might be wrong, but my estimation is it's more than half. And it just blows my mind.
Yeah. Because those people have a responsibility to their audiences to kind of
yeah.
be inclusive and progressive.
Mm. And what is strange is that some of these people have themselves written articles saying that size doesn't matter, but then they contradict yeah. themselves.
Yeah, that's why it's so important, I guess, this conversation, the fact you're speaking out, James, because
yeah.
it's only with people pointing that out that you kind of, you realise, because I've written things, because being bigger, I've written things for Cosmo and said how I've been around, like, my friends who have made comments about fat people, and yeah. you sit there and you're like, hello? And I think I had reactions from my friends that said when they read that, they apologised to me because they'd never thought of it in that way. And I think it's kind of that, like, education of people, because for you, you instantly, as soon as someone says that, that's yeah. just horrible to hear. And I'm sure if they knew that, they wouldn't do it.
I'd like to hope so.
I mean, not everyone. Some people are awful. But I like yeah. to think the majority... if they knew how hurtful those comments were.
Yeah, I'd hope so. I mean, I think some people do it because, as you kind of just alluded to, that they're not really thinking and they're not necessarily meaning to be hurtful. And then there are those that just don't care. I don't really know what the percentage is either way.
Hmm.
I mean, like I said, a sexologist, say, you know, going back a bit, she shared a meme on Instagram and it had a husband and a wife who just got married. And they'd waited till they got married to have sex. And the woman in the meme, the woman says something like, oh, I waited all this time for 3 inches. And the sexologist not only shared the meme, but she said, nobody has got time for a small penis. Nobody's got time for 3 inches. And
wow.
And that's someone you're looking to for, like, to help you.
It also fascinates me a little bit because, especially when it's sex therapists, because... one of the things that I've read is that one of the most common concerns the sex therapist gets from men is about penis size. Because even men that have got average penises often think they've got small when they haven't. Mm. So what fascinates me is that when a sex therapist says something derogatory like that, what do they say to men when they go to them with a concern about a small penis? So
yeah.
do they then... mock them to their face, or do they contradict themselves? It kind of fascinates me.
Yeah,
because it must have such an impact on people's, like you say, on your confidence, on...
Yeah, because the thing is, it is like another layer, because I often see a lot of people, high-profile people, not only women, men do it as well, but it does especially hurt me when I see women do it, I think maybe because I'm heterosexual. But when you see, like, a pop star do it, that's hurtful, but when you see... a sex educator do it, somehow it hurts me even more because I'm thinking, well, these guys actually know what they're talking about, so...
James, how should... I'm trying to word this right. How should, like, someone react when they see a small penis for the first time? Like, for you, what would be the best reaction you'd receive? Would you like your partner to not acknowledge it at all? What do you think is the best way?
I guess if it was me, it's a good question actually. Maybe just like if I can understand why it might come as a shock, especially if they haven't experienced a partner who's got a small penis before. But if it came as a shock to the person, if they could somehow kind of hide the shock, obviously they're going to want to know, you know, what do I do with this? Then I'd be fine if they just, like, asked me or just spoke to me and just said, okay, you know, don't have much experience or haven't had any experience with a guy that, I don't know, trying to think of the best way of putting it. Like, I guess just, like, they can talk to me about it and just ask, like, do you know what, because even, I don't know if I'm explaining myself very well, but I'm even now thinking that in that situation I'd be caring more about what would make them happy.
I guess then it's like communication, what we were so like yeah. just asking yeah. what do you like,
how can I
just communication. They don't have to, I wouldn't expect them to kind of ignore it or pretend that it's big or pretend that it's average, because I know it's small, so there's no point you know, the other person pretending that it's not small. But just to just be a little bit kind of considerate with regard to the reaction, I suppose.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like if I was to be surprised about somebody's body and something, I can't even think in what way I would be surprised. But if I was surprised, I would keep it within me, and like I wouldn't show it. If you see what I mean.
Yeah. Like, don't recoil. You like, if I took off my bra and they're like, your boobs are saggy, shit. Like,
exactly. You wouldn't. Yeah. What's like one thing you really want people to know about small penises then, like the one takeaway?
I guess just to remember that there's a person attached to it. There's other things that people can do to make sex enjoyable. Even if you don't like a small penis and if it is a deal breaker, just to be kind about it, you know, and just, I think some things just don't need saying, you know, like you might think something, but it doesn't always add something to necessarily verbalise it. Mm. I think there's like tolerance and kindness. I think that's. I'm not even asking for acceptance, actually. Just like kind of just asking people just to not be unkind.
Just human decency, you know.
Oh, James. Yes,
yeah.
Thank you so much for being so candid with us.
Yeah, thank you.
Really appreciate your time.
I actually feel a bit sad after that.
Sad about the state of humanity?
Yeah, I just feel a bit sad for James. Just in the sense of, like, he's obviously such a kind man, and it's just so sad that he just wants kindness.
Mm-hmm.
It just made me feel really sad.
Do you think it's interesting, the stuff about how, like, obviously body positivity is a huge thing, but it's just like he called it a blind spot.
So true. It's true. Because yeah. I was thinking, like, I've made small penis jokes. Like, I don't know anyone that hasn't made a small penis joke.
Exactly. I did it definitely before I understood and spoke to people like James, like even passing comments. Like when you know, men have been aggressive to me on the internet, for example, or trolled me, I've been like, oh God, he's got small dick energy. It's like, it's got nothing to do with dick size. Masculinity and penis size are not the same thing. And like, they're often conflated. And I don't know, I like to think that people like us, and actually the majority of people, are just doing it in a thoughtless way, and we haven't really in the past considered what we're actually saying.
Yeah, because honestly, I was thinking that when James was talking, I was like, I am not going to make small penis jokes anymore.
Oh my God, no.
Just because I think that's the thing, you don't think about it and what that makes him feel like.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Yeah, I just hope that he can meet someone, because he would be such a good partner. The fact that he's done so much research, mm-hmm. and I definitely think that is something in terms of the sector experts he was saying that are sharing those kind of things, which
mm-hmm.
I totally agree that that would be more hurtful, because that is a like professional. Like, they're the people that are meant to help you, and they're also poking fun at you.
Yeah. Like, the one space that should be safe should be that space.
Yeah.
And it's not. Also, I don't see what's not to like about being gone down on and then being bought some after eights. Like, that is my dream scenario. And any woman would be lucky to have that.
Exactly. And also the point, I can't remember if you or I think James made it, that most like women don't even orgasm from penetration. I was literally talking with my friends about this at the weekend, and we were saying that like it was only like now we're all more open about sex with one another that we're all like, yeah, actually never, like, two of my friends never have orgasmed from penetration. So why is it even a big deal?
Exactly, because sex is so penis centric, and the whole idea of shaming people for their penis size just ties into that narrative, doesn't it, that it's all about shoving it in when it ain't.
Oh, shoving it in.
Well, give me a gob job and some chocolates any day.
Okay, I'm going to end now.
Okay.
This brings us to the end of this episode of Cosmopolitans All The Way With. Thanks to James for joining us and to you for listening. If you have any sex questions or dating dilemmas, message us on Twitter or Instagram at CosmopolitanUK.
Cosmopolitans All The Way With was recorded by Number 8 Studios remotely and is available to download on all the usual podcast apps.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.